Our second scripture reading comes from Matthew 12, 9 through 14. You can follow this in your pew Bible or on the overhead. Going on from that space, he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "If any of you has a sheep and it falls into the pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of him and pull him out? How much more valuable is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus.
Thank you, Ross, and a special thank you to Ross and Lynn, too, as the main part of our meal after church is what they have put together. So grateful for them and others who have brought some goodies for us after the service this morning. I always wonder how invested you and I are in other people's lives. Human nature would be for us to say something like this: if it's not mine, I don't care. Huh? A lot of times the way we live our lives is if it's not mine or it's not connected with me in some way, if it doesn't affect me in some way, then I don't really care. I mean, what would you do if your wife was on the side of the road with a car that was broken down and you went by with your car? Well, it's my wife. I think I'll stop. Or not go home afterwards, yeah. That would be my other choice, yeah. But you see, it's because I have a vested interest in the one who's on the side of the road because I know that person. Or if it was one of you and I saw you on the side of the road, surely I would stop because, in a sense, I look at that person and I say, I know them. In a sense, I've got vested interest in that person. But if it's not mine, I don't care is oftentimes the mentality that we have. If it's my kid being ignored, I'm going to stand up, though, right? If it's your kid that is the one who might be in trouble, well, you're going to stand up for your own child. But if it's someone else's, well, I just stand there and let it happen. If it's my time being taken, I won't stand for it. But maybe if it's your time being taken, I really don't care. You see, the way the world oftentimes thinks, and sometimes that creeps into our mind as well a little bit as to how we live our lives. I want to ask ourselves this morning, what are the rules that prevent us from doing the good thing? These are rules that the world oftentimes has that we allow to creep into our own lives and affect the way we live. And I'm going to get to the text in just a little bit. There's that rule, live and let live, right? You know, that has to do with my brother's keeper. Just live and let live. Stay out of other people's business. Oh, we got to live that one, right? Just stay out of other people's business, because if I get involved with them and get dragged in somehow, I don't know if I like that. What about this one? Don't risk your reputation. It's not my problem. Don't mess with tradition. I could come up with a whole lot of these rules that people tend to want to live by. And yet with these rules, I think oftentimes we miss what Jesus is trying to create here in the text in Matthew here, as we'll take a look at it. But let me look at this first before we get to Jesus himself. And it's this. Maybe a rule that we ought to live by is, in the situation we find ourselves in, is there a greater good? Is there a greater good? Whose law is it anyway? Are these my rules? Or are these God's rules? And just like Cain and Abel, when Cain was addressing the wrong he did against his brother, he said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" I want you to think about all those things for just a little bit. But then I want us to look at this text here. This text that is being addressed this morning. Another parable, in a sense, that Jesus uses to teach us a lesson when it comes to the sheep. I ask a question, though, first and foremost for us as religious people. What was the law that was preventing Jesus from doing what he did? We know the law that was addressed, right? What was the law? It was, you can't work on the Sabbath. You know, you got to keep the Sabbath holy. You remember in Exodus 20, verse 8, that we need to keep the Sabbath. Keep it holy. Rest on the Sabbath. It's a Sabbath to the Lord. Don't work. These were all things that were said in that commandment given to us about the Sabbath. And so the Pharisees, who are very self-righteous kind of people, are saying, watch this. We're going to sink Jesus with this one, aren't we? Like they tried to already. What's he going to do with this man who comes to him with this shriveled hand? It's the Sabbath. And it's the law. At least as they saw the law, what's he going to do? Perhaps they need to be reminded of something that Jesus was reminding them of in this text. In other texts in the Gospels, he directly reminds them of this. But it is this, that was the Sabbath made for man, or man made for the Sabbath? Jesus says the Sabbath was made for man, for humanity. Not that humanity was made for the Sabbath. You see, the Sabbath was made to help humans, not burden them. Right? What's it mean to keep the Sabbath? It is that day of rest. It's that day that we take as the Church of Jesus Christ to come together and to, I guess you'd say, for a lack of a better way of putting it, refocus on the most important thing in life, because throughout the week we oftentimes lose our focus. It's, to me, it's kind of like getting that spiritual battery recharged, because it's kind of on low by the time I get here on Sunday. And you don't know how much you charge my batteries when I come to fellowship with you all. You don't know how much my battery gets charged when I'm even preparing for what I'm going to share with you on Sunday. You think it's maybe you that I'm trying to feed, but man, I've been fed all week trying to prepare. Because typically when I prepare, these things hit me before they hit you. Sometimes I don't like what I'm hearing. Would lifting someone's burden be a good thing on the Sabbath? If the Sabbath was made for man, don't you think it would be a good thing that on the Sabbath Jesus was there to heal someone who had been encumbered by this thing for his whole life? Don't you think it would have been a good thing for him to do something like that? Yet, the self-righteous people had these rules about what they should and shouldn't do. I wonder, though, if this man with a shriveled hand happened to be the brother of one of these Pharisees. I wonder what they might have said if they knew that this one who was there, Jesus, could heal a sibling that had been struggling for something their whole life, whether they might have possibly changed their tunes. You see, they were so encumbered with their human laws, because that wasn't the law of the Sabbath. That was something that they had added to what the Sabbath law actually stated. There was nothing preventing Jesus from doing what he did, because Jesus knew what that commandment was really all about. It was those Pharisees that were trying to put stumbling blocks in the way of what the Sabbath was really all about. But let me ask you another question. Jesus knew the law better than they did, and Jesus knew what the intent of the law was, but the Pharisees were a little confused about what that law was. What were the things that were preventing the Pharisees from doing the right thing? I think we find that in the parable, in the little story here. You see, because the Pharisees were kind of self-righteous. They were all about, notice I said self-righteous. There's something about that that's not good. Self-righteous, it's all about me, my appearance, how I look. Jesus didn't want to be about self-righteousness. He wanted to be about righteousness that spreads to all those who are around them. You see, they looked at this man with a shriveled hand and they said it wasn't their problem. Just like you and I were talking about at the beginning. It really isn't my problem. I can move on from that. But Jesus tries to say in this text and get it. He's talking about one of you had a sheep. In other words, your sheep was in a pit on the Sabbath. What if this was yours and it was in a pit on the Sabbath? Maybe that changes the story a little bit, doesn't it? You have a vested interest in whatever it is that's going on here. You have a vested interest in that sheep, or in the case here of this man with a shriveled hand, you've got a vested interest in this man with a shriveled hand, because what if that's your son or your brother, or that's your daughter, or that's your mother, or that's your dad, or that's your whatever? What would you do on the Sabbath? Would you leave him there? It changes the scenario when we start to have to take ownership of a brother, of a neighbor, doesn't it? Because if it was their sheep, they probably would have rescued it. It threw their whole philosophy of religion upside down. It challenged their way of thinking. Jesus was doing something a new way. Because they thought they'd got him on working on the Sabbath. And Jesus was saying, do you understand what that commandment is all about? So now you ask them the same question, was it right on the Sabbath to heal the sick? The answer is, of course, it lessens the burden of someone who is a neighbor. And who is your neighbor? If I could define it this way, my neighbor is anyone with whom I have a sphere of influence on. If they're in proximity to me in my life in some way, in some shape, at some time, then in essence, they're my neighbor. So if they're my neighbor and someone is deeply in need, that I ought to reach out and do what I can to help. Jesus threw it upside down. And yet I wonder sometimes how much you and I are still a little bit like the Pharisee. Because it's not my problem. I don't know that person. Or I don't want to get involved in that because it might get a little dirty. And so we pass on by the opportunity to help someone who's in need because maybe I'm too busy with my own life, whatever it might be. My question for us this morning is if you would see it a little differently if you knew that it was your own sheep that we are dealing with here. Because if it was your own sheep, of course, just like the Pharisees, you would probably remove it from the pit. You'd help it in its time of need. But the issue for us this morning, I think, is the issue that Jesus was trying to touch on there was, it is your sheep. It is my sheep. Too many times, I'm not looking at that person in need as my neighbor. I'm not looking at that person as one who I need to respond to. We have our excuses, don't we? We're too busy. What I hate, I despise it with a passion, is when people will look at people who they know And they say, I know how they were. And because of that, they won't treat them like a neighbor. Shame on us when we do that as the Church of Jesus Christ. Because we look so many times at people when we are self-righteous like the Pharisees and say, your sin created your mess. Forgetting that when I pointed at them, I have three fingers looking back at me saying, and my sin created mine too. And thank God there's someone who loved me. Thank God there's someone who reached out to me. Or maybe my excuse is it doesn't fit into my plan because I had a plan for the day. You know what? You interrupted that plan. Or it's the wrong day. It's the Sabbath. Or do I know you? Or what would others think if I got involved in this? Oh man, there are a whole lot of them people that we could use because you and I are experts at coming up with excuses. We're the human race. We know how to do that. What I just want to encourage us with this morning as I close is this. Jesus was trying to tell those self-righteous Pharisees and all of us who sometimes fall into that category, do the right thing. Do the good thing. Be a part of the greater good in a world that's got a whole lot of evil going on. Be a part of the greater thing. Love people in spite of themselves because God loved you and me in spite of ourselves. Oh dear, I must have gotten someone this morning thinking I thought it was because I was so good. Oh man, we're like filthy rags compared to God. I'll use one last thing as I close here. And this is a thing I've used before, but I kind of was reminded of it when I was looking out here at my dad on the farm. And it's that whole imagery I've used before since we're talking about a sheep here. You know when you shear the sheep in the spring, their wool, when they're in full wool, it's kind of dirty and ugly looking. You know, up against the manure background and stuff, it looks okay, but it's still kind of ugly looking. And then you shear those sheep. And you shear those sheep right down to that near the skin there, and it's all white and looks so clean. But yet if you shear the sheep in the spring when there's a fresh snow that's on the ground and leave the barn and they go out into the snow, they still look dirty. Why? It's because that white that was in the barn is cast against the pure white of the snow. And you and I, when we cast ourselves against that pure white of the holiness of God, we still look pretty dirty. But thank God He forgave us of all that. And when we stand before Him in heaven, my only defense is, Jesus, thank you. And because of that, I don't want to ignore the sheep when they fall into the pit. Because I need to take ownership. The fact that that sheep is my neighbor. If I can help him, I need to help him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's turn in closing to hymn number 452, which kind of shares the same thing. But it's Make Me a Blessing. Would you stand as you're able this morning and sing with me hymn 452. Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad.